If you'd like to turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel according to Luke, the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 23, reading verses 33 and verse 34. Gospel of Luke, chapter 23. And reading from verse 33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And our subject is this morning, Knowing Not What We Do, based on these words of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross at Calvary. Well, many of you will be aware that the Lord Jesus Christ, there are recorded in the scriptures seven sayings of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. This is the first one. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Every saying of the Lord Jesus Christ, well, throughout the New Testament, is full of meaning and great importance to us. But these words, well, they are so tremendous in so many ways, and I cannot possibly do justice to them this morning. It is a subject for our own meditation. Come to these words by yourselves, read them and think of them. The Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, and he's saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. These are tremendous things, full of teaching for believers and for non-believers. Well, this is even an example to us. This is an example prayer. It's amazing to think that the first thing the Lord Jesus Christ does on the cross, in his agony, in his hour of darkness, is pray. He prays to the Father. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. A prayer lifted up to God in his hour of trial and tribulation. And even just meditating upon that, we have a lesson for ourselves. When we enter into times of trial and darkness and tribulation, that's the first thing we should do. We pray to God. We follow the Lord Jesus Christ and his example. We'll of course never know a trial as great as the Lord Jesus Christ. But we remember that God is above everything. God is over everything. And so if we are facing problems and trials and difficulties here, what's the first thing we do? Do we go and ask people for help? Do we go and ask our neighbours, lean on an arm of flesh? No, we look upward. We pray to God. He is above everything. He is sovereign. And we must remember this. Christ in his agony prayed, and that of course is our first port of call. Father, drawing near to God. Father, help me. But well, actually, look at the nature of this prayer. It's not actually, Father, help me. The Lord Jesus Christ on the cross in his agony is not even thinking about himself. He has just been scourged. He is exhausted. There is blood draining from him. He's being nailed to the cross through his hands and his feet. You would think he has every right to say, Father, help me. But he is saying, Father, forgive them. That is the heart of God. Do we not see it? Do we not marvel at this? In his great affliction, his first thought is for others. Father, forgive them. Well, this is the heart of God. It's not the heart of us. If people wrong us, if people do something bad to us, We get angry. We get irritated. We want to hit back. Maybe afterwards, after some time has elapsed, maybe then we can find it within ourselves, possibly to forgive someone, but not like Christ. Even at the point the nails are going into the hands, he's saying, Father, forgive them. And well, again, this is a lesson to us. Are we like this? If we profess to be Christians, we ought to be like Christ. We ought to have that spirit, that willingness to forgive. Are we like Christ? When people wrong us, do we always have that desire to be reconciled, to forgive them, no matter what they've done to us? Are we like Christ, or are we like the world? The world teaches the opposite. If somebody hits you, you hit them back. Don't let somebody treat you like this. You have to show them what for. Don't let yourself get treated like this. Get angry. Assert your rights. That's not being like Christ. That's being like the world. If you want to be like Christ, well, look at the words of Christ. When people have wronged you, Christ on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. These are tremendous things, aren't they? So very challenging to each and every one of us. But if we profess to be Christians, we must aspire to be like this. We must have that spirit of forgiveness, that willingness to forgive and imitate the Lord. But well, let's look at these words in a little greater detail for evangelistic purposes. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, some people think that the Lord Jesus Christ is in some way saying that the people who are nailing him to the cross, well, really, they're innocent. They're not doing anything wrong. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They're not doing anything wrong. Some people interpret it that way. Is that what the Lord is saying? Father, forgive them. They can't be held responsible. They're not really doing anything wrong. They're innocent. No, that's not how we ought to read it. They are committing sin. They are doing something very gravely wrong. He's not saying they're innocent. They are doing something that is terrible. Father, forgive them. If he needs to say, Father, forgive them, well, it means they're doing something wrong. They are committing sin. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But really what it means, they know not what they do, is he's saying to God, Father, these people, they are so lost in their sin. They are so enslaved in their sin that they are doing these wicked things, these terrible things, even without even thinking about them. It comes so naturally to them. They are enslaved. They are so lost. Look at their sinful state. That is what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying to them. They are so enslaved by their sin that they are capable of doing these wicked things without even really registering, without even really stopping and thinking, what am I doing? They're doing terrible things, but well, it's almost as though they know not what they do. Look at their state and pity them. The Lord really is saying, pity them. That is what he is saying. And well, that really is the case for all of us. We are all of us enslaved by sin, by nature. All of us sin without even really realizing that we sin. That's our state. We can fall into sin without registering it, without realizing that we are committing great sins. We know not what we do. Well, sometimes, well, it's obvious, really. We can be very, very selfish. I'm sure you can think of times when you've been selfish and you didn't even realize you were being selfish. You were taking everything for yourself. And at the time, you didn't know, it didn't register. You knew not what you were doing. But you were being selfish. You were willingly being selfish. Other people, maybe, are very manipulative. And they don't even realize they're being manipulative. Manipulative to their brothers, their sisters, their parents, but they just naturally do it. Doesn't really register. They know not what they do, but they are being willingly manipulative and selfish. And well, other times, well, I've spoken about this before. You can be driving in your car, somebody will cut you up. Well, what happens naturally, without you even realizing, you'll shout. You'll curse them in your heart, willingly, but it's without even registering it. It's your natural reaction. You know not what you do, but you do it. That is what the Lord is saying here. He's not saying they're innocent. We're all sinners. But well, we know not what we do. It's our state by nature. Lord, pity their state. That is what he is saying. We know not what we do. Another sense in which we know not what we do is we don't fully understand the enormity of sin. We don't understand the enormity of sin. These people here at this time, nailing the Lord Jesus Christ to the cross, didn't fully understand the enormity of the sin that they were committing. This wasn't just a man, a normal man. They were crucifying the Lord of glory, the Son of God, divine, holy. They were crucifying him. They didn't realize it at the time, or they didn't understand it, but that is what they were doing. The Lord of glory, God himself, as it were, they were nailing to the cross. And when the Lord Jesus Christ says, "Father, forgive them," he doesn't just mean those Roman soldiers who were putting the nails in, but he was thinking, no doubt, about those chief priests, the Jews, who had plotted and who had desired to see him go to the cross. "Father, forgive them too, for they know not what they do." They did not fully understand or appreciate that he was the Son of God. But by the way, they should have known. They should have known that he was the Son of God. How many miracles had they seen the Lord Jesus Christ perform? How many people had they seen healed who were lame? How many people who were blind, now the Lord had made them to see? Well, they had even heard that the Lord Jesus Christ had raised people from the dead. How much more evidence did they need to see that this was actually the Son of God? And yet somehow they didn't fully grasp it. They didn't grasp the enormity of it. But you know why they didn't understand it? You know why they didn't see it? They didn't want to see it. That's why. They didn't want to understand who he was. They saw the miracles, these great things, great evidence that he was the Son of God, but they didn't understand it because they didn't want to understand it. And well, that's the case for us, even now. Some people, they don't understand the gospel. You try to speak to them about the gospel in very simple terms. They don't understand it. Why? Because it's not simple enough? No, they don't want to understand it. That's why I remember speaking to some foreign people during my outreach, evangelistic outreach, trying to explain the gospel to people. And I think they were Spanish speakers. And before we actually got round to speaking about the gospel, we were just having some small talk, asking them where they're from, and they could understand me perfectly well. But then when I started speaking about the things of God, about the gospel message, about the need to repent, to have faith, suddenly they couldn't understand me. "Oh, my English is not very good. Oh, I don't understand. I have to go now." Suddenly, they couldn't understand. Of course they could understand, but they just feigned ignorance. They didn't want to understand at that point. When I was talking about trivial things, "Oh yes, I understand." When I was talking about repentance, faith, They don't want to understand. Suddenly their understanding, their comprehension is gone. Well, is that anyone? Is there anyone like that in here? You come into this place. You say, oh, I don't understand the gospel. I would be saved if I understood it, if I understood my need of sin, if I understood what it is to repent, to have faith, to be saved. But, oh, I don't understand it. Maybe you've been coming weeks, months, even years. Well, you have to ask yourself, do you actually want to understand it? Do you want to understand it? Because that's the real issue. People who don't understand the gospel, they don't want to understand it. The gospel is so very simple. Even a child can understand it. The problem is not with the message. It is with us. We know not what we do. Another thing we don't understand is we know not the consequences of sin. Somebody who does not come to the Lord Jesus Christ does not fully understand or grasp the consequences of sin. What are the consequences of sin? Other religions, well, they maybe say that sin, well, if you sin, well, then after you sin, something bad might happen to you. Maybe some people believe in karma. If you do something wrong, well, then you better watch out. You might have an accident. You might have a broken leg or a broken arm because you sinned. Is that the consequence of sin? That's not how the Bible describes it. The consequence of sin, the wages of sin, is always death. That is what it was in the Garden of Eden. If Adam sinned against God, he would surely die. That is why death is in the world, because of sin. That is sin, and the wages of sin is death. Death not just for the body, but death for the soul. Eternal death. Eternal banishment from God. Do you understand the consequences of that? Do you know about these things? The scriptures, of course, speak of hell. And we don't like to speak of hell very much in the church nowadays. But the scriptures speak very clearly of it. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke very clearly of it. Hell. He said, fear God, who has the power to send even body, both body and soul, into hell. Very clear. Well, do we understand that? Or are we willfully ignorant of these things? Do we understand what hell is like? Well, some people, they have almost a romantic vision of what hell is like. Some people, you speak to them about hell, and they say, oh, well, it doesn't matter. Hell won't be that bad. All my friends will be there. None of my other friends are Christians. So when I go to hell, well, you know, I'll be with everybody else. And I'll be with my husband and my wife and everybody else who doesn't believe in God. Hell won't be that bad. I'll be with them. But, well, they know not what hell is actually like. There is nothing good in hell. There is no friendship. There is no companionship. There is no love. You know, if you went to hell and you saw your husband or you saw your wife in hell, you wouldn't be able to love your husband or your wife in hell. There is no love in hell. Love comes from God. Love is from God, and God is not in hell. Do we understand this? If you saw your husband, your wife, your children, whoever it is, there is no love there. You will not be able to love them. They will not be able to love you. That is hell. Do you know and understand these things? Or do you just reject them? You know not what you do. You know not where you are heading. Oh, these words of the Lord Jesus Christ can be applied in so many different ways. But these are solemn things. Solemn things. If you know not what you do. But well, these are words of comfort as well. Father, forgive them. There is forgiveness with God for all our sin. Now, when forgiveness takes place, two things need to be done. Two things, two parties, you and God. Some people think it's just God. Oh, God will just forgive me. I don't need to go to church or believe in the Lord Jesus. When I stand before God, He will just forgive me. That's it. Some people think it's just to do with God. Well, yes, God is willing to forgive. God desires to forgive us through Christ. But, well, it requires something from us. From us too, two parties. Not just God. God forgives, but we need to ask for forgiveness. We cannot be forgiven if we have not asked, if we have not confessed our sin before Him. It is only if we confess our sin that God is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. Two parties, us confessing our sin, God forgiving. Not just one, God will forgive me. Have you done your part? Have you confessed your sin to God? You must confess your sin. That is what Christianity is about. The gospel is about. It is about the forgiveness of sin. Do you know this, or do you know not these things? You have to come to God and confess to Him, to God, not to a man, not to a priest. You come to God and you say to the Lord, Lord, I have sinned against you. I know that I have sinned even without realizing. But I know also that I have sinned when I know full well what I'm doing. I am a sinner in every way, but I know that Christ died on the cross. Christ, who is praying for His people even then, Christ died on the cross for my sin. My sins were laid upon Him, and He suffered and died for it because He loved me. Because He desired to make a way of forgiveness. Well, have you ever done that? Have you confessed your sin? God is forgiveness. God is willing to forgive, yes. But have you done your part? Confessed in such a way, I am a sinner. Lord, forgive me. That is what we all have to do in order to receive that forgiveness. Well, when we come to Christ, when we are converted, when we are born again, well, there are many things that we know for certain. No longer is it so much we know not certain things, but we know things for certain, for sure. We know that we are going to heaven. We know that we are forgiven. We know that we have changed. We know that we are no longer the old people that we once were. We are changed people. We are born again people. That's what we know for sure. Do you know these things? Or are you still ignorant? Are you still, well, unconscious of these things? Unknowledgeable? You must be sure about these things, dear friends. You must be sure that you are saved. There is one thing that you don't know when you're saved, by the way. You don't know how the Lord will be so gracious to you when you are saved. I remember when I was first saved, there were lots of people who were not very happy with me. Lots of friends who I would not be able to spend much time with down the pub or wherever it was we were going. Because now I was a Christian. And I remember one of them came up to me, and she was quite irate, and she said, oh, you're a Christian now, are you? And I said, yes, I am. And she said, well, what's his plan for you? Do you know that? What's he going to do in your life? You could have just stayed in the world, you could have built your career, but what's God going to do for you? And I remember I was speechless, because obviously I didn't know what God was going to do for me. I knew not. In that sense, I didn't know. But oh well, if she asks me now, well, there will be no end to the things that God has done for me. Now I know all the things, or almost all the things, that God has done for me. That is what every Christian experiences. The longer they walk in their Christian life, they can't wait to tell people, the Lord has done this, the Lord has done that. I never knew he would do this. I never knew he would do that, but he has done it. Well, the Christian life is an unveiling of glorious things. You don't know what God will do in your life, but as you walk with God further down the Christian life, then you see these things, and then you will be able to praise him and rejoice with him. But if you don't come to God, you will never know. You will never know any work of God in your life, never know any peace, never know any joy, never know any assurance of heaven or salvation. You will never know. Know not those things that you do. Well, these words are so very solemn. Let us just read them once again. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Well, we know the gospel. We must cleave to it. We must not feign ignorance or lack of comprehension. Come to God. Come to Christ. Say, Lord, I want to understand. Save me, and you will be saved. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our God, our gracious Heavenly Father, O Lord, we do thank thee for Christ our Saviour, Christ on the cross at Calvary. And Lord, what gentle words they were, words of concern for those who had sinned against him. Lord, we have all sinned against thee, and we know that thou art concerned for us. Thou art desirous that we come to thee, that we may be saved, that we may know thee. O Lord, may we know thee. May we desire to know thee. Take away our lack of desire, Lord, that we may come to thee and know that peace and joy in believing. Lord, we pray all in our Saviour's name. Amen.